Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And if listening on Sunday morning is not convenient for you, you may always listen to the podcast of this and previous Island Issues broadcasts at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. We're in the holiday season, and last Thursday, Thanksgiving, is a day often spent with family or friends at your own or somebody else's home. And that reminded me how many folks on this island are homeless, estimated at the annual point-in-time count to be around 900 or 1,000, and even more statewide. And that is one of our topics today. Our guest is State Senator Josh Green, also an emergency room doctor at Kohala Hospital. When we interviewed Art Ushijima of Queens Medical Center several weeks ago, he noted some of the initiatives that Senator Green has been working on to address homelessness. So I wanted to talk about Senator Green's initiatives towards that end and also ask him about what the state can and should be doing to help this island with our problem of rat lungworm disease, among other things. Good morning. Aloha, Senator Dr. Green.
Aloha, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
I want to mention that Senator Green is one of four state senators from our island representing Kona and Kau, the others being Russell Ruderman, Lorena Noe, and Kai Kahele. Senator Green is chair of the Senate Committee for Human Services and also on the Committees for Housing and Hawaiian Affairs. He began his political career as a state representative in 2004 and became our state senator for Hawaii Island in 2008. Senator Green, happy Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, let's start with this homeless situation. On this island, they tell us per capita we have a similar amount as does Oahu. Clearly on Oahu, the numbers are far greater. On this island, Mayor Harry Kim has started to address the problem by establishing a tent city, Camp Kikaha, down at the Friendly Place on the Kona side of the island. He's looking for longer-term solutions. Now, as I mentioned, when Queens CEO Art Ushijima was my guest, he said, you are one of a number of folks working on Oahu towards solutions for homelessness. And I'd like you to update us on that, and then we'll talk about whether those solutions might also work here on Hawaii Island.
Thank you. Yes, this is one of our biggest challenges, if not the largest social challenge we have in Hawaii today. It's heartbreaking, as you know, because a lot of people are down and out or on drugs or have mental illness. Also, there's a lot of children involved. But just one homeless individual is too many in a society where we should be able to better take care of everyone. It's a problem that rose to my attention over these many years as an ER doc because I take care of people who are homeless and they come in and out of the emergency department quite a lot. I see the same individuals for the same problems because they don't have anywhere else to go. And then when Art Ushijima, who I definitely think of as a very dear friend and one of our great leaders in the state, contacted me, he said, look, Josh, you're the chair of the Human Services Committee. You know the impact on us in Hawaii, and you're an ER doc. You know the impact in the hospitals. We have to solve this because if we don't, we won't be able to even continue to give care that we need in our healthcare facilities. And when I dug into it deeply with him, I also saw the impact on our whole budget. You have about 12,000, maybe more, because there are a lot of invisible homeless individuals who are in vans or trucks or too afraid to come out and be counted. They are drifting in and out of the social system. As they suffer personally, also the impact that they have on society at large is very outsized. In other words, the average cost of an individual to be homeless in Hawaii is huge. When I dug into the numbers as the chair of the committee, I found that a very small percentage of our individuals in Hawaii, the number's 3.6%, that are on Medicaid, were consuming 61% of our dollars. I hate to be so wonkish about it, but just so you understand, that's over $1 billion being spent on about 13,000 people, or over 80,000 a person. And when we were doing that because they were going to the ER at Queens or at Kona or wherever, and giving these huge costs, it would hit society, taxpayers like all of us, and we weren't getting them any better. We weren't really helping when we could just get housing for somebody.
Well, you mentioned the numbers. Are you suggesting that everybody on Medicaid is homeless?
No, but there are, and I really appreciate you asking for that distinction. There's 362,000 people in our state on Medicaid.
Or Quest, which is what our state calls it.
Exactly. So people on Quest, there's that large population because we did expand our Quest program under Obamacare. only a very small fraction of those on Quest or Medicaid are consuming the greatest share of the cost. And of that subset of people, many of those individuals are the homeless population. So when you really dig into it, the people who are suffering the most, for instance, one guy named Gary, he's one of the individuals on Medicaid, lives on Oahu in this case, but every community has somebody like Gary. He went to the hospital 241 times last year, and his spend of healthcare dollars alone was $1.23 million. Just healthcare dollars for that one guy, and he's not even that sick.
Oh my gosh.
And so just solving the problem, and I have a solution that I've begun to develop with Queens and HMSA and other people that are really attentive to this problem, just solving that problem for people like Gary, a handful of people in society, we can save tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and then invest it in the right stuff, like a good program that Mayor Kim has begun to develop. None of these programs are perfect, but you normally have no resources or inadequate resources to set up a camp, build the affordable housing. People just say, oh, well, it's a terrible problem. Government can't solve it. And it's true. It has not been solved very well. I don't like the solutions that have been proposed for the most part. But when you start saving lots of taxpayer dollars and get better results for people just by putting a roof over their head and saving a lot of money, you got to pursue it.
So what evidence is there that you can save money by putting a roof over somebody's head, making them not homeless?
Exactly the right question. So I reached out to Helping Hands Hawaii immediately on Oahu and said, okay, tell me, if I put a solution into place with housing over people's heads, am I going to save any money? Otherwise, I can't convince people to invest in this project because my colleagues at the legislature are reticent to spend more money. Taxpayers are fed up because it's so much money in Medicaid. It's $2 billion just out of our 12 that goes straight to Medicaid. What will happen? And they showed me immediately, they did a study, that as soon as you put a roof over somebody's head who's chronically homeless, their costs drop 43% for the year. 43%. So that guy Gary, for instance, his $1.23 million expenditure would have dropped $450,000. And someone who is in the median that's homeless, who's spending $82,000 a year, I mean, none of us practically spend $82,000 a year on healthcare unless you got some terrible cancer or been hit by a truck. We save $35,000 on each of those individuals. And that's after the cost of housing them, which costs about $1,800 a month, all things considered, social workers, care coordinators, and so on. So we actually got the analytics on it because I'm kind of sick and tired of doing anything if we don't know that it could work, because I've been around a few times on all of these issues, and I think people would like to see results rather than just chatter. So the goal is, and I can tell you about the program I'm starting for first Oahu, where there's this huge, dense zone of people that are chronically homeless, and then what we hope to export around the state to every community that would like it, is we put together a program so that the sickest or the most challenged individuals get housing. We drop their costs precipitously because then they have healthcare right on site, calling it the H4, and housing on site. And then when those savings, Queens, Kona, Hilo Hospital, anywhere you go will have more resources, the taxpayers will pay way less, and let's just pray that policymakers, I mean, I am chair of the committee, I'll ask them to reinvest it. Let's pray that they either give us some money back from our taxes or actually do programs like drug treatment, alcohol treatment, housing, helping kids who have been abused. Let's help those individuals so they get on the right track.
If the legislature can, in fact, see money savings as a result of doing this, why would we not put it into mental health? Because it appears to me, from everything I've heard, that mental health issues are what keeps a lot of people homeless.
Yes. This topic that you're on ties actually much of the challenges in Hawaii together, and you're already right on the track of it. So first things first. Okay, what's H4? H4, which my team named it, is the first floor is hygiene, and a lot of due credit goes to the city and county guys on Oahu because they bought this building in Chinatown. Joey Manahan, councilman and others, and mayor actually is all over this thing and has been giving me the green light to do this, Mayor Caldwell. They were smart to do this. So hygiene on the first center, that's your first H. Healthcare is where I come in. Bring a bunch of healthcare providers in to deliver care on site for basic things instead of going to the ER and for free, okay? Then on the third floor is housing and fourth floor housing. That's your extra H's. And then it's a humanitarian mission because I'm going to get money from philanthropists and humanitarians and so on. So that's your four H's. the individuals who are on the street can get housing when they have a wound, they have to come out of the hospital and aren't still homeless, they can get better without going to the hospital over and over again. That's how you save the money. And then, yes, right now we only treat 4% of the individuals in our state that have mental illness or drug addiction. It's a little higher. It's about up to 10% total of the population is drug addiction, but we're around 4% to actually get people the care that they need because we're so underfunded and we don't have enough providers. So you take this money that we'll save, I project we'll save $35 million in the first year just by doing a better job keeping people out of the hospital and away from the ambulance and not getting busted by the police.
Because all of that costs money.
Every single time. So if you want to know, if your listeners want to know how the breakdown is, first of all, if someone is in a fight or the community calls the ambulance, it's $1,050 for the transport. So that's $1,000 just for probably nothing, because 57 out of the 60 people every day that go to Queens don't need to go to Queens Hospital. That's borne out in other communities across the state, including my own ER, where I know that's the case. So $1,050. Then if the police have to get involved in an altercation, the police come, they tell me it's an average of 4.5 hours of their time. So they can't even do the stuff they'd like to do, like bust meth dealers or deal with real violence or what have you. Then someone goes through the hospital door in the ER, it's $1,200 right out of the gate pretty much. And if they have to stay overnight, it's $3,000 or $4,000. All for pretty basic stuff when they could go to a facility where we can fund it at pennies on the dollar and deliver probably better services because it's calm and quiet, and then not have to have society pay for all of that.
You have spoken of this as being free and available to homeless people. Most people, myself included, we have to pay for our own health insurance. It's not inexpensive by any stretch of the imagination. How does it make sense for society to pay for people who many folks think are homeless because they sort of don't want to get out there and work?
Yeah, it's a great philosophical problem for us because on the one hand, we all think people should carry their own share of the weight of society, right? On the other hand, some people are so dysfunctional at the moment with their mental illness or drug addiction that I've come to the conclusion based on the experiences I have that first things first, we need to have a better control of the circumstance out in society because it's dangerous for others. And we're better suited to help people even if they aren't really sticking up for themselves or able to do their part. Then you save the money and then you get the treatment and then the feedback loop is much better. Also, I would clarify that most of the people I'm talking about are the chronically homeless who have been homeless for like 6 months or more. This is my definition personally, have drug or alcohol addiction and or mental illness. And so once someone's been on the street for more than 6 months, and if they have schizophrenia or God forbid they've been doing drugs, they can't function properly anymore. Now, a lot of people might say, well, that's their problem. And I get that because I get frustrated too. Believe me, when someone's in the ER for the 10th time and that's their circumstance. But then you have to ask yourself, would we rather spend the $82,000 a year on them, or would we rather spend $35,000 and have them housed and not affecting their own lives, not affecting tourism, not maybe hurting somebody, not yelling at passersby? All of those things end up being a stepwise solution. And then, God willing, when we give people like long-acting antipsychotics, they get better. Or a little extra help with drug treatment, some people get better. Not everybody, but some. So that's the approach I'm taking, and it's probably the civilized approach.
Where are you with this H4 program? What has to happen to make this really happen?
So it's a go. Some of the final touches are being put on it. I mean, I'm the president of the board trying to get this thing done.
And who else is on this board?
It's me heading it, the head of Queens Hospital, the head of HMSA, the insurer, a physician partner of mine, and this guy who has been loaned to us. We're doing it for $0, zero, to set this up. And obviously, I do this as a volunteer to set it up. That's a guy named Andy. And HMSA has given me the go for $8 million. They've been extremely generous. First of all, they care about people to get them off of this cycle of going to the hospital and spending $4,000 a pop. But hundreds of millions of dollars are getting spent from, just so you know that the numbers are, 2010 to 2016. The healthcare cost for the homeless exactly doubled, went from $140 to $280 million. And that was borne mostly by people on Medicaid, HMSA or United or Aloha Care or whatever, or Ohana. Those insurers just paid out, and they paid out in lump sums of $4,000 and $6,000 or $30,000 if someone's in the hospital for a week. So if they can come to a different setting where by investing in some basic services, mostly mental health services, nursing, wound care, basic things. Medical respite is what it's about. Then it's in their interest, but also they're trying to give back, the insurer. So I got to give a lot of credit to HMSA and Mike Stoller and Mike Gold. Mike Gold's the outgoing CEO. Mike Stoller's the incoming CEO. They stepped up to the plate when Art and I asked them to do it. And then you've got Dwayne Carrizo. He's doing a major homeless project over on Sand Island. That's mostly for people who have suffered economically but are not down and out on drugs and alcohol. So different people are working on this differently, but I ended up being pretty well suited as a doc to work on this part for the really hard nuts to crack.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. Our guest today is State Senator Josh Green, who represents the west side of Hawaii Island. In a conversation we recorded last Friday evening, Senator Green says he's going to run for lieutenant governor, but that's not what we spoke about. It's about homelessness and a solution he's involved with on Oahu, which we hope will spread to Hawaii Island. We'll also talk briefly about rat lungworm disease and about the escapee from the state hospital. Next Sunday morning, we're going to take a look at the beginning of World War II at Pearl Harbor and the resulting Japanese internment. Join us Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country 107.7 FM or 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, or the podcast will be online, lava1053.com and koacountry1077.com. Let's get back to State Senator Josh Green. The people you're talking about, as you said, they're sort of the hardcore chronic homeless folks. Here on the Big Island, we also have a group of folks, and I think these are the people that maybe Dwayne Carrizo is focusing on for his Sand Island project, but there's a whole group of people who live in their cars. A lot of times they have kids. A lot of times they have jobs. They just can't afford housing. Is there part of this solution that addresses them?
Yes. Mr. Carrizo's approach is to bring the price point down so low. It's like $650, I think, a month, where almost anybody, if they have at least a part-time job, would be able to afford that. And he's basing it on a plantation model that he had experience with. Growing up, he was not wealthy, and he reflected on that and thought this would be a good model. And I think it's a really good, heartfelt model. So you asked earlier, can this work for us here? The answer is yes. Dwayne would love to do several of these projects around the state. I would love to do several of these projects around the state. I needed a very dense population. He did also, to first do kind of a proof of cure, if you will, or a guarantee that this is a worthwhile use of people's resources and time. And it will be, because there's such a large target here to both help people and have savings. And I didn't come at this casually. I mean, when Art asked me to look into this, I traveled. I went to New York, Seattle, California, Boston, to meet with people and see what they were doing. We're taking the best pieces of their projects and then looking at, well, what's exactly the landscape look like here in Hawaii? Unfortunately for us, we have the highest per capita number of individuals that are homeless for the reasons you probably have talked about many times, like climate. Some people are traveling here and staying here on one-way tickets. The cost of living is extraordinary and the housing shortage is quite awful. All those things coming together, maybe even Airbnb. I don't know how big a deal that is, but...
Meaning cutting out a place that somebody could afford to rent.
Right.
I think that is part of the issue, that so many more homes have gone to vacation rentals for whatever platform they use. Well, this sounds very promising. So how long do you think this will have to be proved out on Oahu before you might be able to extend it to neighbor islands? And is this a state initiative, or is this something you'd get involved with Hawaii County with?
I would work with anybody, and I've already had four other regions reach out to me, even though we haven't launched it yet. We're getting the final permitting done now. The plan is to start in October next year, although I'll be hiring people up and taking volunteers. I'm mostly providing an opportunity for the physician community to volunteer because it's a good thing to do. We'll hire a lot of social workers and psychologists because we need them very badly for the population, and then we're a go. So October of 2018 on Oahu, we will begin to see the savings immediately, and I think we will start in parallel some other programs, probably more on Oahu. I would love to see something here on Big Island, and Maui has also reached out. We probably do them on a slightly smaller scale because you don't have 800 to 1,000 people in a dense area anywhere else in the state other than downtown Honolulu, but you could see the need in Waianae on Oahu. You could certainly see it in Kona to handle all of those who are suffering the most. And the funny thing is that we ER docs, we know individuals by name. It's not hard for us to say, oh, that guy's trying to scam us. No, we know the people that are really hurting, coming to the ER, probably have kids. Those are the ones I want to help right away because I don't like seeing the suffering as just a person. And I also know we can't tolerate the cost if we want Queens and other people to help us on all these other projects.
Has anybody in the Hawaii County Administration reached out to you to talk about these projects?
I did talk to Harry about it, and I went over and met with him for the better part of a morning not too many months ago, and he shared with me what they were doing. I have no doubt this will be a perfect partnership. Look, I'm bringing all the money from the private sector because they want to solve the problem, and it's in their economic interest to solve the problem. It's certainly in the state's budget's interest, and the counties, of course, are in a constant struggle over resources. So I would not be surprised if all of the mayors, when given an opportunity to have mostly private sector paying for it, to dive in a little bit. What we did need, and this is the important thing, is we needed the building. If I didn't have the building from the city and county, I couldn't have done it essentially for free. That you have to have. Now, that building could come from someone in the private sector. It could come from other sources, but it does seem like there should be some government support to these programs because these are the services we're supposed to provide.
I'm excited. What I'm excited about is you have a concrete plan, and I just haven't heard too many legislators, especially, who have any concrete plan about how to address this. And the fact that you're moving forward, you've got a start date, and you're doing this. Yay!
Yeah, I was going to do it without government help, mostly because I can't wait. I mean, if you put this kind of a plan straight in front of government, you could spend 3, 4, 5 years talking about it, and then people just give you new counts, and then there's new people in office and new administrations, and everyone starts from scratch again. So I knew I was going to keep working on these things no matter what I do. So Queens will still be there. I'll still be around. Guys like Dwayne and others, and HMSA is going to be around. So this will work. Whether we save $28 million or $35 million a year remains to be seen, but both would be great, and we will help hundreds and hundreds of people.
Well, if we can get people off the sidewalks, I mean, the problem that we have on Big Island is visible, but the problem on Oahu is unbelievably visible. And at least here, I really applaud Mayor Kim for when he closed down Old Airport to homeless folks, he gave them a place to be. On Oahu, it seems like all you do is move people from place to place and celebrate moving them, which doesn't really solve any problem at all.
That makes me angry, actually. We did have a large debate about the concept of pu'u honua, which means safe zones, right? We should have them, even though I understand the goal should be permanent housing for people. Come on, let's be honest. We don't accelerate our building adequately for people who are poor or who are homeless. We accelerate our building when people are buying super fancy condos, but we don't do it for those who are suffering the most. So I've always thought that that was disingenuous, and until we have a solution, we should at least have some safe zones. It's better the way that Mayor Kim is doing it rather than putting our head in the sand and saying, we'll just wait or we'll just move people around. There's a lot of well-intentioned people, governor's administration included, but they get caught up in this perfect concept of everyone should be in permanent housing. Well, not everyone will accept permanent housing. We know from the data that somewhere between 85 and 90% of the people say they would like permanent housing. But I'll tell you, when you take enough time to actually talk to the whole homeless population, which I do, there's a lot of people that are just never going to accept help that's traditional. That's why you see these untraditional situations like in Waianae or here, or some of the guys who are really a little bit off. They won't come out of the shadows because either they have convictions and they're afraid, they have psychosis and so they have paranoia and they don't know where they're going, or they can't socialize with people. They have major issues. They won't go into traditional housing, so let's at least make it safe for them, less costly and safe for kind of our families.
Senator Josh Green, I want to ask you about a few other things before we say aloha. The first one is, you mentioned mentally ill people, and that certainly makes me think about the recent situation at the state mental hospital where I have to call this man a murdering necrophiliac based on his conviction. Whether or not he actually belonged in the state mental hospital, I don't know, but that's where he was. And as I think everybody knows, he managed while there to obtain a driver's license and cash. He walked out of the state hospital. 10 hours later, the state hospital employees decided to inform the police, and that was after he had been in San Jose, California for 2 hours, after chartering a flight to Maui and taking a commercial flight to San Jose. I know that you have some thoughts about a solution to prevent this type of situation from occurring.
Yes, it's a disaster, of course, what happened, and no one should be allowed to make excuses for it. The explanation is, like you said, they blew it and there was someone helping him enough or allowing enough lax oversight for him to get out. Pretty good guy that runs the facility, Bill May, but some of the people fell down on the job. The solution is, at least short term, essentially double the number of guards on the perimeter, and then it's almost impossible to get out of there. Add at least 5 full-time equivalent positions, which we already have in the budget, by the way.
Why haven't they added them?
I don't know why they haven't added the extra security. They were talking about putting extra security in certain wings because we were dealing with violence. See, this all stemmed initially from a problem 3 years ago when there had been a lot of violence at the Hawaii State Hospital against people that worked there by some of the mental health care patients. We then did a couple things. We authorized, this was like my top priority for the state, not focusing as a senator from Kona, but just statewide. We needed a new forensic facility because the old one is just ancient. It's not safe. It's too easy to escape from. We've had like 18 escapes or something in the last few years. It's ridiculous. So this new forensic facility and the way they build them now, I can't say it's impossible to escape, but I think it's almost impossible to escape from these new kind of facilities. That's 144 beds. It has to get finished. So these are the three things I asked the director of the place and then the director of health, deputy director of health to do. Increase that security, like I said. Finish the facility faster. Don't wait. Cut through the red tape. Have the governor declare whatever state is necessary, state of emergency, call it what you will, to cut through red tape to finish. Instead of originally it was going to be 8 years, and now it's 5.5 maybe. Get it down to 2020. Just finish this darn thing. And then finally, in addition to that, don't bring back or admit any of the clearly dangerous, imminently violent patients. Because if you're saying that you can't guarantee that they're not going to escape, then don't put them there. You have to put them in a facility. By the way, I don't love it, but it's less expensive to take care of the severely ill, violent patients on the mainland because they have programs that are already in place. They have the facilities that are proper. They actually have the right setup and facility and treatment. So do those three things, and at least Kaneohe and the rest of us, because this guy was obviously able to get around the whole state, will be feeling safer. Solve problems. I don't know why everyone is so reluctant to solve problems. Once again, this is kind of like a theme now, but it costs a lot less to get the job done right and to put in competent solutions rather than chase down disasters, whether it's somebody that's on methamphetamine and stabbing people in society because they escaped from the mental health hospital, or someone who's homeless and goes to the ER 240 times a year. Give the first guy good medical treatment in the right lockdown facility. The second person who's homeless goes to the ER, give that person a private nurse practitioner and a home, a roof, bring their costs down and start solving stuff.
I'll be looking forward to when they complete their investigation is why exactly the employees at the Department of Health State Hospital did not tell law enforcement until some 10 hours after the man left.
Yeah, I asked the same question. They had to do a better job. One of the things went across not just a few hours, but across 2 shifts. And so that's the kind of thing that you always do is you, as a healthcare provider, you account for all of those that you're responsible for on your shift, and then you give it over to the next shift. And they didn't do that either. So I know that the leadership there is taking this super seriously, and they did suspend a bunch of people, and I'm hoping they'll root out anyone who's not doing the right job. There's got to be accountability everywhere. We have to build this facility. They have to crack down on anybody who is totally negligent. And frankly, if anybody aided Mr. Saito to escape, they have to be prosecuted. I would expect the Attorney General to go after them.
Senator Green, I want to turn your attention both as a doctor and as a legislator to a health problem we have on this island, rat lungworm disease. I have recorded but not yet aired interviews with Dr. John Martell of Hilo Medical Center and Dr. Susan Jarvie of UH Hilo College of Pharmacy to get an update on what's happening here on the ground. I've also recorded an interview not yet aired, and I'll probably be doing that in a few weeks, with Department of Health and with the state task force folks. Rat lungworm has been tracked by the State Department of Health since 2007. This island has had around 65 cases that are acknowledged. And I say acknowledged because determining if somebody has rat lungworm is not that easy. So we've probably had more. This year, there have been 10 cases on Hawaii Island, 6 on Maui, and 1 on Oahu. I talked with Keith Kawaoka of State Department of Health. He's the deputy director. He reported that the state legislature has given Department of Health $500,000 after last year's session, and they'll get another $500,000 this year for a total of $1 million. Now, Keith told me he only wanted to talk about the first 500. 300,000 of that will be spent on communication. And they plan for $200,000 of the first year money to collect rats, slugs, and snails and do a study and see how many of them have rat lungworm disease and what the transmission is. But when I asked him where they were going to do this study, he told me they were going to do it on Oahu. I told him I was not trying to be disrespectful, but didn't understand why they would do a study on an island that has had one case in the last year versus the island that has had 65 cases, most of them stemming from East Hawaii. Keith told me that it was just logistically easier to do it on Oahu. He also said that they have no plans to fund any research on rat lungworm. And so my question is this, the state legislature was asked to give this money primarily to UH Hilo College of Pharmacy to fund the existing outreach efforts, to fund the research. And somewhere in the Ways and Means Committee, it got funneled to Department of Health. I'm not clear how the state legislature makes these decisions. I bet you're not going to be able to tell me either.
No, I'll tell you directly.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a sham. Kai Kahele and Russell Ruderman and I and Lorraine.
Oh, yeah. I heard that every one of our legislators was on board with this.
Yeah. So we wanted $1.5 million essentially to go directly to the University of Hilo to work on it in Pune to go and do the research with Sue, who is terrific and who knows the disease. And we have the patients here to do the research here. And then the Oahu legislator, which at the time was Jill Takuda running that committee, basically slit Kai's throat legislatively and made that money go to the Department of Health, even though we were fighting for it and we knew it had to be a big island thing. Just like when Oahu needs something, we support them. This was a big island problem, basically. That legislator, Takuda, sent that money because she was sticking it to Kai, which was ridiculous. Some people hate people being this honest. Well, I think we're in an era of honesty now. Lots of that kind of crap happens. In this particular case, I'm calling it out on the air because people died from this disease, okay? I see people in the hospital that have symptoms. If we don't have resources, what do we do? And a lot of people, of course, on the east side are really nervous about it. And so it is total insanity to not do any of the research where the dense part of the disease is. And don't tell me you can't bring scientists over here or use some of the empty space, whether it's at school pharmacy or at UH Hilo. You should be doing the research here. And by the way, doing great research here where you have lots of participation and people who really want it. So that was a nasty move. Kai and Russell were leading. More of the cases were clustered right in the heart of their districts. And we all knew what happened. So people in Hawaii should be mindful that this kind of stuff should stop. There's no reason for that to happen. And every region is a little different. That's one of the beauties of Hawaii. But each region also has specific challenges and need certain help. So I would hope that the deputy director will rethink where that money is used and then reach out to Sue and use it here. Because that $500,000 I do expect will go through again. There's a new chair of the Ways and Means Committee, Donovan Dela Cruz. I have a better working relationship, as does Kai, as does Lorraine, and I think even probably Russell with that person. So we'll make the case again that that money should be spent in Pune or Hilo and then peppered around the Big Island to look at these terrible slugs.
I'm really encouraged to hear you say all this because I was also a little disappointed that here we are in November and the State Department of Health has known about this money since at least May, and they're still in the, quote, planning stages on some of the most important work, whereas Dr. Susan Jarvie has all this research going on. She's working with the Centers for Disease Control. She's working with colleagues in Thailand on developing a blood test, on determining the best way to actually wash produce, on determining whether it can be caught from catchment water. All this stuff is going on, and Department of Health is starting from scratch as if this is a brand new thing.
Well, look, if I was just a regular citizen out there, which I also am, and this continued to go on, I would start putting some pretty serious questions and even begin lawsuits over at ineffective government. I hate to say that as a part of the government, but tomorrow I'm going to be a citizen working in the ER, and I want people to get well. That's most of my life, and I'm sick and tired of this kind of stuff. We don't want to overdwell on the Oahu-centric versus neighbor island dynamic because we've tried to balance that out over the years. But when you see a spike like this, or like dengue fever, where we basically had all the cases and then they suddenly found religion on it when a couple cases went over to Maui, I would say, come on, guys. This is the 21st century, for gosh sakes. Let's just put those things aside. Let's look at where the challenges are. Here's a perfect example. Homelessness is a big problem everywhere, but the most impactful disaster right now is on Oahu. So I'm putting extra energy there because I'm a legislator in a committee and knows that I want to invest in a way that will help more people right away. I would love to do more in Kona, and we will do more in Kona and Hilo and so on. But first there, because that's where the biggest human impact is. In the case of the disease, in this case, rat lungworm disease, if the problem's here, work on it here. And that's how Hawaii gets better. Because I'll tell you, if people are scared out there in the mainland or other parts because they just hear Hawaii has rat lungworm or Hawaii has dengue fever or Hawaii has a homeless problem, they're not going to know. And then they're going to stop coming here. Meanwhile, we're picking up the pieces. So we can do better. I'm encouraged that people are getting more involved. I'm encouraged that people are talking about this, but I'm kind of determined to talk very directly about these things after enough years in the legislature.
I appreciate your candor. Senator Dr. Josh Green, anything else before we say aloha?
Let me just say much love to people on Thanksgiving holiday weekends and continue to reach out and give back to people. There's a lot of people suffering out there, and you heard it through today's show. We have the homeless crisis. It sounds a little bleak, and then we've got rat lungworm, and we had dengue fever, and we have these issues. But if you're doing well out there, help with these humanitarian initiatives. Help do your part for people that are suffering.
I do want to mention that Dr. John Martell did say that the task force, which includes several medical professionals from Johnny Burns School of Medicine, is a real positive development, and they are working hard, and they are working hard to come up with solutions.
We love those guys. So let's bring their expertise over here to Big Island to help us solve this.
Thank you so much, Senator Dr. Green. Aloha.
Thanks, Sherry.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Sherry Brack, and this is Island Issues. I'll see you next Sunday for another Island Issues. And until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.